Space.
Time. Reality. It's more than a linear path. It's a prison of endless possibility.
Well, happy 2023, you dirty animals. Here it is. It's Sam and Moe's Watchers of the Plus. Not a lot of stuff came out the last 2 months, but we've been watching, and so it's time to start gabbing. Moe's, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm still not completely clear, but I had my first Coco V experience come
He's in love
Christmas.
With the Coco.
Yeah, Christmas Day, Coco V landed in my chest and into my family, and not fun. So I'm a little gravelly even still, but we're getting there. So it's been kind of a wild ride, and we kind of, we do this thing where we pan off for a little bit, we come back, we regroup. Sam puts out, a bunch of his picks for 2022. It's 2023 now, almost near the end of January, but that's fine. That's just what we do.
There isn't much that comes out in December. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is maybe the most meaningful. Well, besides Andor wrapping up in November, but apparently you've got issues with the best Star Wars media that's ever been put out. So
first of all,
the original Star Wars nerds there. I said it.
Yeah. Fundamentally, I canceled my subscription to Disney Plus. I reinstated it because one of my daughters just had to see Hamilton again. So I turned it on.
Sensible member of the family.
Right. There. Okay. So I'm not giving Disney a lot of money, but
regardless, I literally did this week. I literally gave Disney a lot of money.
I would love to know.
I spent $200 to go to their park and feel like a poor person. I'm all tier zero. Woohoo.
So is $200 the absolute bare minimum?
I think the bare minimum is like 93, but then they get you with did you want the lightning lane where you can check into a ride and just show up and get on it kind of thing? And you're like, well, of course I do. Like, I was actually making fun of people that were in the normal line. I'm all, look at all these people that don't value their time for $25. But by the time you add in the double park pass and the lightning lane and the yada yada yada, it was about $1.93 for a Tuesday pass, the cheapest in the middle of the worst weather we've ever had. But I got lucky; it was blue skies for the one day I was there. So you
get to pal around with Chewbacca, even though they don't want him there. But
I didn't like the mark. That more feels like, it's not like you walk in and it's like Tony's lab from the movie. It's just kind of a general, here's what stuff would look like from the Marvel Universe kind of place. Or walk around, you're like, oh, I feel like I'm on a movie set. And it's very impressive. They've got the movie accurate. The rides are really cool. The Guardians of the Galaxy ride was the funnest ride I did there. So, and I just realized I'm going to be 40 this year. I don't think I've been on a roller coaster since I was in high school. And I was like, oh, I'd go back, but it's definitely weird. Like, you see the Disney adults down there? It creeps me out, man. Like, there was
Sam, you're not wrong. Disney adults are creeps. I don't care who I piss off on that.
There was way more adults than kids there. And, I saw one kid run into, a Star Wars store, and they're like, oh, Dad, look, a kyber crystal. And I was like, I got more enjoyment out of that than any of the rides I went on. Like, I was like, oh, that's what this place is about, is taking the kids here. So I'm like, the fact that I saw so many, husband and wives or, a group of aunts or, just rolling around in their, coordinated Disney stuff, I was just kind of like, ew. I was like, well, I guess I see why when COVID hit these parks hard and Disney was like, we're not making any money. I see why, because that place is a cash cow.
I had a season pass to Six Flags in California. I loved it.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. There was a time where I had a Marine World Africa USA / Water World Concord double pass. I mean, you know, there's been those times, but I guess that's the closest thing I've been on to a roller coaster is in college. We all got drunk and went to Waterworld one time, but I don't think of those as roller coasters. That's a water park. It's totally different.
When you reach a certain age, you shouldn't go to Disney unless you have kids. If you don't have kids and you go to Disney, don't.
Yeah, this was a definitely that's the thing. This was a last minute trip for me to go down for my buddy's 40th birthday party, who was there with his kids. So I rode rides with kids. I wasn't right there. I was asking them what they wanted to do next. Although right. I did definitely like put my foot down and be like, I need to ride this Marvel and Disney and the Star Wars stuff.
That's why the show can continue, Sam. Because if I found out that it was a bunch of dudes just going to Disney at 40 years old.
No, yeah, the cutoff of this podcast is like wrestling fans, and then right under that's Disney adults.
There you go. Of course, Sam sees all my additions to my wrestling figure stables.
Insanity. Yeah, you're starting to look like the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin with his
it's okay. Everywhere. It's okay. I've had waves of this, and right now I'm inside of a wave.
Well, so what should we get into for
okay.
some 22 so, wrap up?
So let's do some.
Moe's explains why he's too good to watch the best Star Wars thing that ever came out.
Okay, well, and you're going to explain to me why. Though I am going to watch it because I've, but it from fundamentally. Okay, so let's break a few things down. From here on out, for a little bit, we're going to do some Last of Us recapping. Mm-hmm. Because
I have not played the video game. Have you?
Okay, well, stop. We're not going to talk about that yet because we'll get into this part.
Okay.
And that's why there are certain things that you accept without knowing. And that's okay. We're going to get to it. But yes, we will. Let's go through 2022 and we'll dissect, you know, Sam did some homework and I get to, you know, kind of maybe throw some darts at things. Andor seems like, from not seeing much of it, it's basically an expanded version of TK-127 or whatever the Lucasfilm.
Well, it's I wouldn't necessarily say it's an expanded version of it, but they're definitely taking inspiration ideas from it, and maybe even some like I've never seen that movie, so I don't know. But I mean, I have seen the like YouTube essays of like, oh, the prison in this is like the prison in that. And yeah.
I really think you need to watch that movie because I think that really kind of explores where George Lucas was coming from and where he was going. I think it's like you have to look at that as a milestone in where his career was going to go. Hmm. It's kind of gross on some levels, but I highly recommend taking a look at it because I think it gives you a little insight into like where his student film brain was going.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't speak to a 40-year-old student film, but Andor, I can't say enough good stuff about it. Like, I made it number 3 on my top list. It easily could have been number 1. I think the only reason I didn't put it number 1 was just how much I loved Better Call Saul as a series and how well I thought it wrapped up. Quickly, I just burned through The Bear, whereas like Andor took me a couple episodes to get into. The Bear, I watched it in like 2 sittings, and I literally had to stop myself halfway through to be like, hey, there's only 8 episodes of this, and you've already watched 4. Like,
well,
take a step back.
I did watch all of The Bear. I got through the rest of it. And actually like did a little bit of catch up because there was a gap in there that I wasn't watching it. I am very, very hopeful for season 2.
I feel like it's going to be hard to replicate that feeling of that first season. Like, I wonder what season 2 is going to be. Like, maybe it's the whole stuff, but I mean, I don't know. I trust them. Like, and if they say they got a season 2 ready for us, I can't wait. Like, all the cast is great. It's funny. It's emotional.
Yeah.
Like, you know, heck, if you don't cry at that last episode, like, well, sorry that you aren't over 30, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the what's interesting is, Sam, like, and this is what slightly concerned me is the main character from The Bear. is going to be, and you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. There's a biopic coming out called The Claw. It is the Cary Von Erich. It was the Von Erich story. Von Erichs were a Texas-based family in wrestling. And
I'm happy. More work. I liked him and Shameless a lot. So
it's good. I think it has a lot of potential. My issue, my fear is that movie will impact where season two can start or
well, when, I think they've already started shooting it. Okay, I think they've already started shooting it. So okay. It should be back. Who knows? Maybe like a normal year later than the last one. So yeah, I mean, so yeah, that and Andor were my top three with a bullet. Where like, I feel like all of them made me cry. All like I can tell you that Andor, I yelled. I was watching it at like 7 a.m. Like it was, I didn't stay up. Like usually with these Star Wars shows, when I or some of these things, when I really get into it and want to see the finale, I'll stay up till midnight and watch it. I was tired, but I woke up like early before my alarm. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go downstairs and watch it. So I'm sitting there on the couch with the dogs, like Indian style, like edge of my seat, you know, like just overly. Trying to see what's going to happen next. And there's a scene in it that
is there a series two in this, or is it like self-contained?
It's going to be a second season, but that's it. That they've come out and said it's going to be 18 episodes, two seasons. That's, I mean, I feel like if this was normal, Disney would be coming back and being like, you covered 1 year in this one. You're going to cover 4 years in the second season. How about we make that four seasons? Like, I think that's how Disney would think about it. But like, yeah. That's what makes this show good, is that they came in with like a plan and they're writing to it. And they're, you know, if they stick, I mean, I honestly wouldn't mind if they said we're splitting season two, we're making it three seasons instead. I'd be like, good. I love these characters. I love the way they're setting this world up. But yeah, there's a scene in the finale that, not only am I tearing up before it happens, but then when it happens, I yelled and then I screamed out like one of the characters. And then I had to quiet myself because I was like, oh, my wife's asleep upstairs. Don't wake her up because you're screaming at the TV like your grandma. So I feel like when a show can get that kind of like reaction out of your watcher, like what a home run it could be. Like I don't feel like, I'd say the last time something like that happened was when Luke showed up in The Mandalorian, and I'm like, oh, like I was one of those people that was like, oh well, that's got to be who it is, right? And then like, you know, you see the green and you see the, you know, yeah. You're just like, oh yep, you hear the music.
Well, it's nice to have that emotional connection to things. So I will watch things. So
and Andor, something that I even tell people, you don't have to be a huge Star Wars nerd to enjoy it. Like it's space intrigue. But it's like, you're also seeing the dark side of being rebels. Like they do have to kill people and they have to be kind of callous in it. And that, you know, there's good people on both sides and there's bad people on both sides. And it's just, it's a very complex.
Look, where's Trump at? Where's Trump at?
Well, I mean, it's just, there's it's a very complex show.
Good,
I mean,
there's good, good people on both sides.
Well, I mean, that's it was like, you know, they get you rooting for like an sure. ISB lady at one point. And then once she starts doing good at her job, you're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, like I was being woke over here rooting for the lady against the man. And I forgot that she's trying to kill all our main characters. So it's like, you know, it's kind of stuff like that where you really, you know, it makes you question things. It's just it's a great show. Like, so I just. You. I'm going to Jedi mind trick you. You will eventually watch the show because
I will. I'll watch it.
Well, what on my top 22 to list did you watch? I don't think you watched We Own the City, which is a great little miniseries on HBO.
Okay,
what about Sandman? Did you get through Sandman?
Yeah, I got through Sandman. I liked Sandman.
I know you got through Peacemaker. That one's I revisited because I was like, well, I forgot how good Peacemaker was.
Wait, hold on. I didn't get through Peacemaker. I honestly enjoyed Peacemaker.
I did too. I thought it was better. I actually put it higher on my list as I kind of revisited everything because I was like, oh, I forgot how much heart this show had and.
Yeah,
what a good job these guys
did. I really did. I enjoyed Peacemaker quite a bit. Actually, now I'm looking. I go and grab that list because I didn't have that. I had the movies.
Movies, like I almost feel like I could do a quick hit on the movies, and then it's movies aren't as good as they used to be. Like, I feel like there used to be, like, granted, this is partly because of the pandemic, and so stuff has gotten shelved or shoved to streaming or whatever, but streaming, people don't care about how concise or tight a movie is, so most streaming movies are kind of long and boring.
Yeah.
And then the ones that aren't, it's like, I mean, it's like I never got around to seeing Bullet Train. I finally watched on Netflix, just watching, looking for something to watch, like the week between Christmas and New Year's. And I was like, oh my God, what a fun movie. Like, this should have blown out in a big way. But it came out at a weird time when people were still weird about going to the movie theaters. And it was just not that, it just didn't get that much, like, press. And, like, you know, Nope was okay. You know, I almost think I should have put Werewolf by Night higher. You know, Wakanda Forever was good, but I mean, like, I also am, like, not in a hurry to go see it and watch people, like, be depressed and grieving over this guy that I was sad died. You know what I mean? Like, it's really a movie about grief, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like, I hate to put it in this same category, but, like, you know, a movie like, say, like a 12 Years a Slave. Is it a movie you probably should watch once? Sure. Is it a movie that you're going to throw in just when you're killing some time to, like, I want to see the scene again? Fuck no. So it's like, there's some stuff that this is a little bit different, because it's like, I'd like to see more of Namor again. And he was kind of really a badass, but it's like, it's also half that movie that it's like, man, it's going to make you sad.
I see what you did there with saying Namor. But
I said it like the movie did.
Okay.
Well, did you see it yet? No, you didn't see it, right?
Real quick. This episode is sponsored by Ice House. Just thought I'd open that up, show you.
I forgot. I don't think you saw it, right?
I did not see it.
Well, he says Namor. His enemies call him Namor because
I know.
He has no love.
I've heard all the nonsense. Now, what's interesting is like, you know, I think The Boys, again, for TV for 2022, again, high for me, obviously. I mean, we loved it.
It made my top 10, but I also thought it was a very stagnant season where it's like, for us introducing V and V pills or whatever. And, you know, it just seemed like it was like, oh, so we did another Huey and Starlight are good and then on the outs by the end of the season. And, you know, we're still not sure what's going to happen with this kid. We had him, then we didn't have him. We had him, then we didn't have him. Now we don't have him again. You know, so it was a little samey to me as some of the other seasons. And just, I thought the Herogasm compared to what Herogasm is in the comics was a little disappointing. But, you know, they're trying to make it a little bit more realistic.
How much can we have?
I just thought it was hilarious. The whole, in the comic books, the whole thing is they lie to the public and be like, there's a huge alien war coming to us and all the heroes got to go. And then they just go to an Epstein Island and get debaucherous. And so I thought that would have been really funny to show that version of it. Not like,
well, first of all
the creepy Sam heroes get together and bang in a cabin in the woods.
They weren't Epstein Island because everybody was of age. So that's the difference.
Well, Epstein-esque.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, like Frank Reynolds said in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know, 95% of what was going on there was above board. It was that other 5% that really sullied the name of the operation.
Yikes. All right, so on the movie tip, now, almost, I think I can account for, I'm gonna 50% of the list. You had Glass
Onion. You saw half of it?
Yeah. Now, you would have thought that I would not have seen Glass Onion because Rian Johnson is a creepo. However, over Christmas, I did see it.
Why is he a creepo? What'd he do?
He's not a creepo. He just ruined Star Wars. But
I don't think he did that.
No, stop.
He's dead. If you watch his last three or four movies, what does he do? He zigs when you think he's gonna zag. That's his deal.
And Star Wars is incapable of that.
And I'd almost feel like Canto. I wouldn't be surprised if Canto Bite wasn't his idea. That seems like a Star Wars corporate idea.
Stop. All right. Anyway, we're not gonna get. We're not gonna do this. Okay. But
well, Glass Onion. So what did you think of Glass Onion?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very, very tightly scripted, very interesting movie. It brought enjoyment to my living room. And that, I mean, And so, based around that, like, so where you have Top Gun, that you have Glass Onion as your number one, and then you have Maverick as your number 10, which I don't have a problem with because it's your list. However, I think Maverick can go higher in your list only because what Maverick gave was a nostalgia bump, but it also got us back. Maverick is a very interesting movie in its time and where it was placed. We always wanted this Top Gun 2. We didn't get it for decades. And then here it comes, and it fulfilled everything. It was a solid popcorn movie on its level. And maybe you're right though, Sam. Maybe it is a number 10. Now that
that's what I liked about it. I mean, it was kind of a turn off your brain and just like, it's like that Willow Smith song, Caught a Vibe, you know, Catch a Vibe. You know? Yeah. It's just like, you literally just go catch a little 80s vibe. I feel like that, that is playing like the entire movie. Like, and it's literally just Tom Cruise being a movie star and amazing shots of planes doing stuff that are actually doing it and not all CGI stuff. So it's like, I feel like that's another thing that's great about Andor. So like Andor, they go to places and they get sweeping views of these valleys that you're like, oh, is that an alien planet? Oh, that's on Earth. I mean, guess that's on Earth. You know what I mean? Like where, and it's actually seeing it and seeing these two actors on a hill from an impossible like camera angle. That is like half of what you do this for. Not to, like, for two people to walk around on the volume and dodge things that they can see, what, you know, so that the camera knows what the CGI should look like. Like, yeah, that's great for being able to do some CGI stuff. It's not a way to make a show or a movie for an entire movie. Like, it's too much.
Where we differ is then when I go to your number 9. And see, this is the this is where, like, for me, Top Gun, Maverick on your list should start going higher. I can see Glass Onion, Top Gun, Maverick. I understand. I get that space. But then you put Prey in there, and we've discussed Prey.
Now, see, I hadn't seen it when you talked about it, and I just finally made myself watch. It was kind of one of those things where I caught up on some movies.
I think this is a mistake. And I think if you were to look at Top Gun, Maverick again, you would say, "Oh, wait a minute, Prey should be 10."
Mm-hmm. No. I think that the one thing I didn't love about Prey was the whole, I see certain people as threats and certain people as not type of thing. Like, I thought that was like, I feel like in the other Predator movies, they just killed shit. Like,
and again, aliens historically have come down and they do their thing. However, if we're going to go by that, you know, philosophy of history that the aliens have occurred, then we need to look at the history of the Comanche and understand who they are, because that was a complete rewrite of who those people were.
I get that. Like, I mean, I think that's you're getting more bogged down in that because I don't know as much about Native American history as you do or whatever.
It's baggage.
But so it's one of those things where literally if they just changed the name, like they could have just made up a tribe name, to be honest with you.
And yes. Fine. That would have changed everything for me.
Yeah. And so I thought the action was good. I thought that the Predator was scary. Like, I thought it kind of went back to its roots of being like, you know, like, yeah, we know what it can do, but like these people don't, and not understanding,
right?
You know, when those red dots hit you, how fucked you are.
and there was the member berries of the weapon that eventually Danny Glover gets. It was sweet.
Yeah, and I don't you know, that's the thing. It's been so long since I've watched those original ones that I don't even 100% remember that. But like, you know, I just mean that's another one where I just thought, oh, they took this thing that I was sick of seeing, like I like the first two Predator movies. I don't know that I ever watched like Predator versus Alien or like Predators. I've heard Predators is pretty good, where they all get like.
Why are you saying it like that? I think you need to stop.
Predators.
That. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I think I just tried to pronunciate for the podcast.
Yeah. Don't pronunciate ever like that again. Doing my best,
Jenna Maroney.
Right. No. Bullet Train. No,
But I mean, like, yeah, that's. I feel like most of the movies on here that are just fun, like, other than like maybe two depressing ones.
You put the Batman too high, but I understand. But then again, why.
I really enjoyed it, and when I was thinking, that's what I mean. I didn't look at these. I didn't see in the movie theater. Glass Onion, I wanted to see in the theater, didn't get a chance to that week. Saw it at home. Bullet Train, didn't get a chance to see it in the theater.
But Bullet Train was sweet.
Yeah,
my girls loved it. It was fun.
Like I was even telling my wife, I was like, "Hey, you know, I know you're not a big action movie fan, but this one's actually kind of a fun, like, funny movie." But
we saw Bullet Train. I think it was the Bullet Train promo was during Maverick, and we were like, "Oh my gosh, this movie looks sick."
No, it came out a while ago, and I think it's one of those things too that if you knew how many people were in it, that you'd be like, "Oh, that person's in it," and that like I don't know. I think there was a lot of people in it. I loved how it tied everyone in together. Like,
at first
it seems like they're all kind of random, and then you realize they all kind of know each other, and like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was cool.
And Jackass Forever is Jackass Forever. I'm glad it's.
Made me laugh. It made me laugh my ass off. Like, if you go, it's like that's what I mean. It's like if you want to go see a movie and laugh. Those Jackass movies will make you laugh. They might make you throw up as well, but just depends on how weak your stomach is.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And like, I really enjoyed The Werewolf by Night. That one was fun.
I need to see that. That's very curious to me. And Nope is very curious to me.
Yeah, and Nope was one where I didn't like it as much. I don't think I've seen a Jordan Peele movie that I've liked as much as Get Out. So that's one of the things. But I liked Nope a lot better than I did the Santa Cruz, There's Copies of Everybody Under the Ground movie.
I know
Us
some
or something like that.
Yeah, Us.
I
mean, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. That one, like, I don't know if it went over my head or what. Maybe it's just you have to, like, buy into just, hey, there's a creepy alternate version of your family that's going to kill you. Like, that's just the scary part or whatever, but I don't know.
I didn't watch it. It just, you know, certain things appeal to me and, like, certain things just don't. And that one, it just hadn't, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Bros was the other one that made me laugh my ass off. It was very funny. The only problem with it is that if you're not comfortable with gay stuff, well, it's all gay stuff. So, I was one of those things where I told somebody, it's not that bad. Then I thought about it for a second. I was like, there are two foursomes in it. if you're okay with that, like, I mean, you know, we watched The Boys. We're not afraid of some raunch around here, so
yeah.
I'm not afraid to see two guys making out. It's they're not gonna like scare me, so it's a very funny movie, and you know, but at the same time, it's like, it's not for the people to be like, they're throwing this gay stuff in our face. I'm like, oh, did you think that before? Check this movie out, I'll show you throwing it in your face.
Yeah.
But it made me laugh again. Judd Apatow made me laugh my ass off. But that's what I mean. Is it like, I feel like half of these are movies that wouldn't make it on like a strong year. Like, none of these movies are as good as I just watched part of Arrival the other day. Or like, you know,
I think one of the movies you missed was Devotion. Mm-hmm. I think that movie, I haven't had a movie that made me cry and feel something in like on that level in a long time. And, you know, it stars, can't remember his name. Yeah. It's the guy who plays Kang, you know, for the MCU nerds. It was a very, very strong movie. It also had, the guy who played Hangman in, Maverick.
Would that be Glenn Powell?
Yeah.
I guess some people are saying that he might be the next Superman. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's the other thing. We haven't podcasted since all the James Gunn news either. That's the other thing.
Well, I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake to have gotten rid of Henry Cavill.
Well, especially if I'm pretty sure that you finally cheated and saw that Black Adam post-credit scene, right?
I saw Black Adam. That was absolutely one of the worst DC movies I've ever seen.
It was like, and it was surprising how much The Rock was like, man.
I get promoing a movie,
but if he really believed any of that, it's like, dude, do you know?
That movie was not good, and
it was terrible. I was falling asleep in it, and it was like I was interested in seeing this. Like, this is wild.
I was too, and the CGI was terrible. I mean, there was multiple avenues of terrible in it.
Doctor Strange ripoff.
Oh, it just, and like, it could have been done cool, but like, it just smelled bad.
Hawkman lives in Xavier Mansion with a bluebird.
it just was bad on all fronts.
I get hitting reboot, and that's the thing I think that people aren't getting is that they're like, yeah, they're going to reboot. That doesn't necessarily mean they can't make a young Superman and then have Henry Cavill come back for like a Kingdom Come Superman. Like, I think they're going to do, like, I think that they're starting to understand that we as movie fans know, hey, look, we like these connected universes, but you can have you can have different universes. You can have different things. Like, I wonder if Marvel eventually pivots that to where all their movies aren't necessarily connected to everything all the time or something like that. So, I mean, that's, I think what Disney, that's where DC's found some success is having its own Batman and having some of these
individual movies that don't have to be connected. And I think that's for me, for DC, I was kind of, I think that was a big boon for them is that they didn't have to have connected tissue. Mm-hmm. It may be mildly connected. I don't want them to do Joker 2. But
no, yeah, but it's, I think it's in production, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, I think it's in, yeah, it's going to happen.
I think they're literally like filming it right now. I think there's been some set photos or something.
I think if you're going to do a movie, like even like Black Adam, I mean, I think you've really got to make it, you've got,
well, now that you've seen it, there was some interesting stuff in there. He was a slave and he comes back and these people are under like terrorist regime and they're like, oh, we finally have our own superhero. And then the American superheroes show up to shut him down. They're like, oh, we get a superhero and you want to shut it down? Like, I thought that was a very interesting question. And it's just like washed over. No big deal. We've got punches to throw. Let's have some, like, let's have it be a mystery who the original Black Adam was. Like, it was obviously this guy's kid. And like, you showed it in the fucking trailer.
Yeah, after about 30 minutes, I was like, I don't want to watch any more of this.
Yeah, no, you kind of just are like, oh, let's just see how it ends. Like, let's just get through that. And it just, it's 2 hours of it. And then like, why he...
Sam, I didn't get through the end. I didn't get through all of it.
Oh, so you didn't get to the point where he finally gives up and says Shazam and gives his powers away and goes in the tank and then finds out that they need him, so he breaks out of the tank. And instead of just taking the mask off and saying Shazam, he has to beat up a bunch of guys in his,
in his weak
body.
It.
Like, it's painstaking. Like, it's literally a movie that you go, wow, this could very easily be an hour less.
I couldn't get through it. I mean, I haven't had that opportunity. I should say opportunity, but I haven't had that experience in quite a while where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to turn this off. I got HBO Plus, but you know, like, see ya. Because frankly, I was kind of surprised at Doom Patrol. I know I've talked to you about this multiple times.
I keep trying to.
I know.
I just it's one of those ones where.
All right, so I am now reaching a point of wavering on Doom Patrol after season 4. I don't. It's gotten to a point where I'm not into it like everything that grabbed me for 2 seasons and then into third and then into the fourth. It's almost gotten too weird. Like its structure, it has gotten a little bonky.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's probably wasn't really supposed to be more than a 3-season show.
I don't know.
That's one of those things. Where
I'm actually surprised. I'm surprised it's lasted this long.
Well, especially through the Zaslav, fucking burial of HBO. Like, he literally canceled half the stuff. Like, I'm surprised some of the stuff's still coming out this year that is. I'm like, oh, thank God. They're like, get to see Julia again. And that's like another one that I did put that one on my list with Julia.
Yeah, what is that?
That was it's a show about Julia Childs, like how she started basically started her own show, and
yes,
and then she kind of like paid for it so that they'd air it, and then it made a bunch of money, and then like she kind of pioneered the first thing of like airing a show in Boston and then selling it to other TV stations to air, yeah. and started making a lot of money because the people in San Francisco loved it, and. It's just kind of an interesting show about, like, you know, a lady in the whatever 60s or whatever, mm-hmm. making her way. And, you know, she's got David Hyde Pierce plays her husband, I think is probably the most famous actor in it.
Oh, my gosh. Where's he been? I guess this is it.
Yeah. He's playing Mr. Childs, I guess. but it's just interesting about, like, how she pioneered. Like, they didn't, you know, obviously cameras were so heavy back then, you couldn't have, like, a camera hanging from the ceiling. So it's like she pioneered this technique where they put a mirror over the cooking surface so that way they could take the shot of her doing stuff. And it was, like, the first time they ever got, like, that overhead shot of, like, somebody scrambling an egg. You know, so it's just kind of interesting finding out about, like, oh, this is where all cooking television came from. Like, this this wasn't a thing before this.
Yeah.
And then this lady came along. And nobody believed in her, so she said, I'll pay for it out of my book earnings. And then you're seeing, you know, how it was made. You know, it's like they made her pay for the ingredients for the food.
Because
it was like public television.
Now, what's Julia on?
Is HBO on, Max.
Okay. You've convinced me, you've twisted my arm into it, that's something I probably need to see.
That's what I was just thinking is HBO, I've had 17 shows on my list here, and I'd say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 of them are on HBO Max.
Yeah. I'll tell you, HBO Max has become, like for me, I think HBO Max has a lot of good stuff. Netflix is like oxygen, like where I don't really know what's going on there. I just happen to open it up every now and again.
Yeah, I feel like Netflix is tough that I like want to, I almost want to cancel it. Like, I really don't think, they put out a lot of quality. Like, most, like, Glass Onion's great, but they bought a sequel to a really good movie. And yeah, that worked out great because they shot it like a normal movie. But, like, most of their movies they're just overly long. If you watch the trailers, it'll show you the entire movie in the trailer. And it's just, I think it's the thing is, it's like most times there's, you know, say what you want about the, you know, Harvey Weinstein or whatever. But I bet you he used to be able to look at a cut of a movie and be like, this needs to be 15 minutes longer. Yeah. You need to cut this and this. It flows better this way. Whereas the Netflix of the world goes, 2 hours and 30 minutes. Look at all this content we're putting out. Cha-ching, looks good. You know, whatever. We don't care how it flows. Like, so the movies aren't as good on there, and then the TV shows are kind of trashy, and just it's kind of like I honestly would cancel. Like, my wife probably watches it more than I do, so that's probably the reason we keep it around.
So here's one thing that I will. This is on a technology level. I purchased a new TV. I got a 75-inch Samsung. And it has some features in it that are very interesting that I wasn't fully aware of until I actually started utilizing it. And I don't know because, you know, Amazon Prime Video, once you're in it, you know, it's one straight price. You know, with Netflix, you have to go into different price gamuts in order to get certain features, like, for example, 4K. Okay, but I get 4K with Prime Video straight away. But what's interesting is the metadata of HDR and frame rate and those types of things carry over to my TV. And what I've found is like shows like Grand Tour and some of the offshoot shows from that look absolutely incredible. Like James May has a new one in Italy. That he went to Italy, and it immediately changes frame rate and it has what's called filmmaker mode. So the color gamuts and whatnot all transfer to my TV. So I get to see it as the filmmaker wanted.
And, oh, okay.
And it's a very, now I did buy this TV at Target for, I think it was a little bit, the price was a little bit off during Christmas, and it was for $670, $680, something where in that range. But it has been like a very interesting experience watching the different streaming services and what they offer the end user. And right now, I would say
I've noticed that, yeah, some of them stream higher video. Like, I think that the Samsung internal streamer is one of the better ones out there. I mean, other than maybe like a Roku player.
Absolutely.
My dad has a Sony, and I absolutely just yell at him for buying it, because I'm like, why did you not talk to me? And he goes, what do you mean? I'm like, you were jealous of my TV. You didn't ask me any questions about what kind of TV I bought. I'm like, I keep telling him, like, you can switch over to YouTube TV and use my account. I'm like, other people use my account. You can eliminate $150 a month DirecTV bill. Hop on my thing. We'll add HBO Max to it. You know, if you want to add Showtime or whatever, we'll add that too. You know, slang me $20 a month and that's your cable bill. And he will not do it. And part of it is because Sony is so annoying, because you have to go to the Google Play Store and download this and blah, blah. Whereas like the Samsung, you hit the home button, you got all your apps right there.
Sam, common misconception is when I installed TVs into high end houses and things of that nature, what people fail to realize is, like, I did get a PS5 and there's interconnections, but playing it directly from the TV itself, from the app that's in there, which, like, for Samsung, they have a whole like row of apps. When you play natively, it's a far better experience than like if I put my Fire TV 4K in versus anything else.
Yeah. And like, I've even noticed that certain networks, you see just the blacks will be off or something like that. Like if you're on the wrong street, where you're like, why is there like lines in the black right now? I know that's not the TV, you know, cause it's like, it doesn't do that when you know, have put it off, or, you know, turn it on and it's first it flashes on. So, you know, it's, you know, that's just the HBO.
Yep.
That's one thing that's weird too, is that HBO, I feel like, streams at a very high quality, but anytime you put it on, the first 5 to 10 seconds is always off.
Oh.
I always wonder, like, why is that? Like,
the HBO, okay. So there's two things that I've figured out later. Well, the HBO app sucks. It's not very good. However, Netflix has a lot of patents on streaming menus and things of that nature, so that when you go to other apps like Hulu or whatever, like, there are certain things that, like, basically Netflix has patents on. So it causes an issue with just how you navigate.
Now it makes a little bit more sense now why some of the other streamers are so shitty at their setup. Cause it's like, it's very frustrating. Like, I think I heard that a lot of people say that about Andor on Disney Plus, is they were like, are you guys fucking hiding it? Like, you know, like, why is it not just the first thing when it pops up? And why, like, I don't understand why everything doesn't start with my list and recently played. And it's like, now that makes a little bit more sense.
Well,
like,
Hulu is the worst. In fact, it was funny. I was just watching something.
Yeah, Hulu's annoying. Yeah.
And, you know, I was watching this. Why are you not front loading? Do you want to continue?
No, yeah, you have to go like four levels down to get to it. But at least with Hulu, it's consistent. Whereas, like, I hate with Netflix, like, sometimes it's what you were watching last, sometimes it's your list, sometimes it's what's hot. Like, oh God, I could take that top 10 list and just burn it to the ground. The amount of garbage they put on there that they're like, this is hot right now. Like, that I've been forced to watch because I heard this is good, but it's just that damn Netflix algorithm telling us to watch a terrible movie. At least that's the reason why. Oh, you know what? I was also going to think, rounding out before we get on to the best thing that HBO is doing here. Mm-hmm. Just rounded out the end of 2022. Just like a couple shout outs to some of the other stuff. What We Do in the Shadows was hilarious again this year. It's kind of one of the last like 30 minute comedies that like you could just watch a random episode and it's fine, but it's delightful. You know, like I can't say anything better about it. Tokyo Vice was a fun, surprising show on HBO. I think that's an HBO Max only show about a guy that goes to Tokyo to be a reporter from America and getting to know the Yakuza and all that kind of stuff. I think it's, I don't know if it's based on anything true at all, but it's very interesting. And like, I really liked it. You know, House of the Dragon surprised me. I didn't love it as it started, but really liked what it ended on.
I haven't watched any of it yet.
Yeah. So it's like, it's, I feel like it's a rough start. And then by the time you get to the end, you're like, okay, this is kind of the more Game of Thrones where things are happening. We're going to war. And I think that they're very unapologetic with the fact that they're like, hey, look, this isn't original Game of Thrones where it's going to be a season between things happening. Like we're going to skip a month between episodes. We're going to skip a year between episodes. Like sometimes, like, I don't think that's going to happen as much going forward, but I don't think it's going to be like, okay, someone left on a ship, so we won't see them for five episodes. Like, I don't think we're going to see that going forward, which is kind of fine by me. Like we can do a little fast forwarding at times for this kind of stuff. And then I discovered The Great British Bake Off this year and watched every season on Netflix with my wife. We love that show now. White Lotus was fun, which I'm just realizing I spelled wrong on my Instagram post. Miss Marvel, Righteous Gemstones, again, another great, hilarious HBO show that's coming back this year. We talked about Julia, and then two last HBO things, Our Flag Means Death and Primal by Jendi Tartakovsky. It's a cartoon about a Neanderthal and his pet T-Rex, and it's a fun, you know, there's no words, it's all just art and sound, and it's a good little show. I think they're little like 15 minute episodes.
Gotcha.
And they just had the second season this year.
But
let's talk about 2023.
Okay.
Besides being excited for Kang's gonna be coming into our lives here soon. We've got
everybody so upset with Ant-Man and the Wasp?
They're upset with it? I mean, I think maybe they thought the last trailer looks like it gave away too much, but I mean, like, you can't really say that without having seen the movie. You know what I mean?
Okay, I just saw a lot of heat being generated.
That's probably a good rule of thumb, is like, skip the last trailer. Like, I think that, or just skip the YouTube breakdowns of these things, because it's like, honestly, like, and yeah, I thought the last trailer looked like it might have given away a little bit of like how it's going to end or something. But then again, it's just like, they sometimes do that to you on purpose to like, you know, throw you off or whatever. You're like, I don't know, you know.
See, I'm more excited about, and excited is strong, but like, I really want to see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 over Quantumania. Only
I'm excited for both of them pretty equally, I would say. I think they both look good. They both look kind of like a return to like the Marvel movies.
I do want that.
No, I know. Yeah. But I mean, like, I'm also just, I also think that this, you know, James Gunn, what's he done lately that I don't like? You know,
right. Peacemaker. That's true.
Peacemaker, great. Suicide Squad, great. Guardians of the Galaxy movies, great. Like, you know, it's very, I think that there's kind of like,
DC need the retool.
Well, everybody on the squad's talking about like how they're, you know, they're sad / happy to never be doing these movies again. Like, I think Gamora could die. I think that.
I think Drax is dead.
I think Rocket and or Groot would be silly to kill because they're just voice actors. Like, they can't be getting too much. But
that's cash money.
Maybe Chris Pratt sticks around because he seems to like cash. I could see a lot of there's going to be stakes and it's going to be fun and it looks like a fun Guardians movie, so I'm excited about that too. But you know, one thing that it's been on my radar all this time that I was like, I've never played the video game, is The Last of Us, and one episode in, like, I literally tuned in about 11:40 Sunday.
Okay.
I was leaving for Disneyland the next day, and I was like, let me see. I'm going to go to bed in a few minutes, but let me turn on the first of this and, you know, maybe I'll watch it. And then I watched like 20 minutes of it. And I was like, oh man, it's midnight. I should go to bed. Like, how much is left? And then really? I realized the first episode is like, what, an hour and a half or something like that.
It is.
So I was like, Oh man, and I stayed up till one and watched the whole thing because I was just enthralled. I was just it was one of those things where even though nothing really happens in the first 10 minutes that's that crazy, I was kind of like already like, oh, this is a good quality show. I can just tell from the way it's shot. I'm intrigued. Yeah. I've been buying in the hype of people saying like, hey, like this has been building for a while that, hey, look at this is going to be a good show. It's a lot of people have been saying it's the first ever good, which, you know, I've never played the game, so I wouldn't know, but I was just in it. And by the end of the first episode, I'm like, okay, I get the premise. Yeah. I'm all in. Like, let's go. Let's see. I think it's supposed to be 9 episodes this first season.
Yeah, I think Sam, did you get into The Walking Dead?
I got into it kind of late, like not late, but like it was probably in season.
Okay, hold on.
But when I got into it, so I kind of like buzzed through the first 2 or 3 seasons, and then like I remember being caught up when they got to the prison and they had to like the governor came and blew up the prison and they had
go further back in your thoughts.
Yeah,
the first episode of Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. It captivated you a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a person who actually played the game, what's interesting about this show from episode one is what they've done is they've expanded what you would have seen in the cutscenes, and they've expanded the characters a little bit and fleshed them out more so you can understand where did they come from. And for me, the things that I know, how did they get from A to B when they were there? Now, that said, there's definitely a little bit of swapping around a little bit that could be disconcerting for those that played the game. And I have to think on two parallels, those that have played the game, those that haven't. I think for those that have never played the game, I think that this is very interesting. I think for those that have played the game, there's a lot of, wait, what? Wait, well, this wasn't part of that. And that can be very shocking, and it can lead to, wait a minute, this isn't this. However, I don't think that the casting of Ellie was correct. However, I'm going to let it go because I have to. It's not like I can. There's nothing I can do about that. So,
to give little lady Leanna Mormont some love after her brave sacrifice. You realize that's the same actress, right?
Yeah. When you play the game, you have certain, like, you have a visual Bible of who is what and what is what. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a little bit to get over that. However, moving through it, number one, I loved that we didn't see any cordyceps infected, which is very interesting. From
what's
the first
cordyceps?
Okay, so, you know, in the beginning, we talk about how, like, they had the scientists in the 60s talking about how fungus can do certain things. Well, there's a certain mushroom, certain fungus that can infect an ant, for example, and it controls their mind in such a way to where the ant is doing what it wants. It has no will. It has the will fungus. And then eventually that ant dies and becomes a spawn point for other spores.
Okay.
It's a fascinating, it's a real and fascinating thing. But, you know, that's kind of the premise of the whole story. Now, I will tell you, Sam, that The Last of Us Part 2 is extremely controversial in the gaming community.
When I think this is very much built as like season one is game one, season two is game two.
I hope not. I hope not.
Because well, that's what I think I've heard. I mean, who knows? Again, this might be like a Game of Thrones thing where the season one is so big that they go, hey, do we have to do it in two? Like, you know, like I think that's one of the biggest mistakes Game of Thrones made was rushing through it. So
yeah, I think it would be a gross misstep to make game one season one.
So you think it could be stretched out even further? Well, I think that's the plan.
I think that's exactly the plan. Neil Druckmann, who was one of the writers or the main writer on the whole thing, you know, he's gotten a ton of heat over The Last of Us 2. So I would imagine that game one is what we're watching for now.
Well, so, you know, I mean, yeah, no, I really enjoyed season one, the first one, and especially because, like, I watched that whole prologue part, you know, first part of it, kind of knowing that daughter was boned. You know what I mean? Like, just being like, oh, I haven't seen her in any of the promos. Although, Sam, playing the game,
that is a really emotional playthrough.
Well, and you know, even knowing that when it happens, I was like, you know, just the way you feel the emotion of him being like going through it of like, okay, you've been shot. We need to get you up so that we can get you help. And her, you know, her being shot worse than he thinks. And then him turning around to his brother, who's, you know, apparently a Desert Storm veteran, and looking at him and him having already done the math of being like, dude, where are we going to take her? We can't go to a hospital. The army's trying to shoot us. Like, we're fucked. She's dead already. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's why he's like just sitting there with tears in his eyes. And you see this, you know, emotional scene of a dad losing his daughter, and it's crushing. And it's like, even though I knew it was coming, I was like, you know, oh my God, like this is so powerful. And then to see that juxtaposed with him grabbing a little boy's body and just throwing it on the fire, it's like you see in like two scenes, like, you know, this was a guy that did everything for his daughter. Like, yeah, was he working long hours? Yeah, but it was because he wanted to be able to have enough money to be able to do stuff with her. And like, you know, he didn't give a shit about a birthday cake, but he picked one up for her, you know, kind of thing. And like, you know, this is a guy, I don't know if they get into what's going on with what happened to his wife or anything, or if we're going to get more flashbacks. It looked like in the scenes from future episodes that daughter will come back in some flashbacks.
No.
So I don't know.
No, I wouldn't think so because,
But that's some of the poetic license maybe we'll get with the show, you know.
From a gamer's perspective, I can tell you that they had a great storyboard. And some of the things that you saw are basically like ripped from the game, mm-hmm. expanded upon. But, I mean, it was really – I gotta say, you know – on a whole, this was very beautiful. Now, I can nitpick, and I can pull in like, wait a minute, like, for example, Joel's daughter wasn't. I mean, she's fairly African American in this, or something that wasn't the case. And I know where people were like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? I get it. I think she did a great job. It was just, there were some odd portions that like, if you're invested in one camp and you go to the other, like that can cause friction. Mm-hmm. But again, I said to myself, don't get hooked up on this because there's more to this. And for the, as an example, the woman who has Ellie, she was actually the CGI counterpart back in the day of her character. So she's actually playing the character that she played.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I heard that. Yeah, that she said something about, like, when she found out what she was reading for, she was like, God, I want this.
Yeah.
Now, maybe this is something where you know this is a video game player and I don't. I was very confused about, so the Resistance put Ellie in the police state thing to keep her protected, but why was she special?
Okay.
And then she's like, I don't understand. So obviously they're saying she was special as a baby, but I don't know why.
Okay.
And is that something we'll find out?
It's not that she was special. Not a big deal. Yeah. It's not that she was special as a baby. What happened was she got bit, but did not turn.
Well, no, but they said, they go, who do you think put you there? Because she was talking about how she was, like, in the military camp or whatever.
Yeah.
So she insinuated that I put you there as a baby.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not exactly sure what the Fireflies.
That might be something new.
Yeah. So Fireflies are, think of them as the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to, there's whatever the government is at this point, and then there's these factions.
Yeah.
So they're trying to bring those two things together and say, hey, we might have a way to cure this or to figure out how we can solve this fungus problem. Mm-hmm.
What I like, I think that's one thing that's cool too, is that usually when there's some kind of like zombie thing,
yeah,
there's almost never like an explanation why, you know, like I feel like usually it's either, you know, Walking Dead where they go like, oh, well, we just all have it and it's just going to be a thing we live with now or whatever. And we couldn't figure out a cure or whatever. Or like, there's this one. It's like, okay, it's actually like more of it's a fungal infestation. And like,
it's,
you see, we're
fascinating.
Like,
it's absolutely
where it's not necessarily them. They're not necessarily eating brains. They're the fungal things, you know, coming out of their mouths and like infecting the other people and like getting into their blood. It's just, I thought it was an interesting like layer to it where it's like, oh, it's zombies, but it's not the same. It's not, they're dead.
You know, they explained that a little bit in the very beginning with the way in which mushrooms have a hallucinogenic, like, you know, we know magic mushrooms, the way in which they work in the brain, and that's how they can kind of control what it is that they want. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so like I'm just kind of fascinated to learn more about this world. You know, there's a guy that sits in it and listens to his radio all day and delivers messages for money. And even just stuff like it's just sending messages like, hey, it's a boy or whatever. You know, cigarettes are currency, drugs are currency, food is currency. You know, people apparently don't have actual jobs. They just come sign up for work.
Yeah.
And when it's available, you know, it's very much a police state where you can just, you know, shoot. It's very Wild West. Everybody's fucking each other over. Like, nobody's got any, like, there's no, like, honor among thieves or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you know, this person's betraying that one. And, you know, even the Fireflies, look at, they have one little meeting and, like, everybody's dead.
I mean, it's a very interesting snapshot on, and much like The Walking Dead, because I mean, I think you have to like at least mirror the two, but like it's very different of like and similar of like what happens when the world breaks down.
Yeah, and I always thought that was my most interesting part of Walking Dead was the, oh shit, this baby's mom died and we need to feed it. Where do we get formula? Like, and it's like, oh, well, that might be a thing that didn't get raided from all the stores.
Maybe
everybody, you know, type of thing. And like,
but there's a limited supply.
Yeah. And you're going to have to figure something out eventually, you know? So it's just that kind of stuff is very interesting of like how we survive. And it's like, I noticed that just during the pandemic of like, you know, a factory would get shut down for a week and all of a sudden none of us had bacon or whatever, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, or I mean, even now you go to the store, there's like, there's no chicken. And you're just like, okay, there's just like the shortage of things. And it's like, we're, that's a very minor scale.
Speaking of which, Sam, like on a total tangent, like because East Coast, West Coast, are you guys having an issue with eggs? Like an eggs being more expensive than they ever have been?
Well, that's like we literally just bought like an 18 pack and we
sure
before this like started being news. So I haven't really noticed it, but I literally was going to go to the store today, but we still don't need eggs. So I, you know, but I haven't like got caught up in that. And that just eggs are, I guess that's one of those things where I don't pay as much attention to, because I'm just like, I'm going to have eggs in the house. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, yeah. if they're $12 this week, well, they're $12 or whatever. Like, I just, you know, I,
you're
I
not, you're not paying 12 bucks for eggs, are you?
No. Okay. No. I think usually we're paying more like 6 to 8. I mean, cause like we'll get like the pasteurized free range ones or whatever, but
yeah.
Some of those actually taste a little bit more like eggs.
You know? But you like, you remember a path that like, yeah, a carton of eggs, let's call it 12, was like 99 cents to maybe $1.29.
I don't think I remember when it was quite that cheap, but I mean, I also like when I first started going grocery shopping when I was in my 20s, like I very much, very rarely paid attention to what stuff cost. I just went and bought what I wanted. And now as I'm entering my 40s, I'm like, yeah. What's the tri-tip per pound? Ooh, we better buy an extra one and freeze it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like our freezer is mostly just like meat to make for a dinner one night. Then it's just like, oh, we got it on sale.
Cool. Right. Yeah. And again, I think the world in which, and it's funny because Reagan, one of my daughters, started playing Last of Us. And so I was very like close to because I was sitting there watching her play. And so I was very close to what was going on in the game story versus. And again, Sam, I got to tell you, if you have a rig of some sort, it's very worth playing. I think
I was wondering, because I mean, this is like a PS3 game, right?
Yeah, it's fairly so old.
I was debating whether or not it would be worth buying for my PS5 and playing. Like, I bet
okay.
you I could probably
so log PS5, on to Sony. PS5, you can like, get it for free.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I can go on like the Sony.
Yep, whatever. You can get remastered for free.
Okay, well, maybe I'll give it a try then. Because like that, although that's the thing, is like I've actually kind of debated that too. Because I'm like, do I rather watch this first season unencumbered and then go
okay,
back and
so
play it?
Here's the thing.
Or would it be more fun to play it and then watch the show? You know what I mean? Like that's what
no. I think you should play it because I think there's a visceral moment. You know, we get captured by storylines and things of that nature, but the idea of actually doing something and involving yourself physically, even though it's your thumbs and fingers, but there's something to that. Of like being part of the story. And I think that's where the connection gets made in where The Last of Us as a game, I wouldn't say it was the first, but it's one of many games that transcends this, you know, where you're a part of it because you're physically playing as Joel or Ellie.
No, I think that makes sense. You know, like same with like playing that Star Wars Jedi. I forget, was it Fallen Order? No, I forget what it's called. The newest one for that came out with the
I got
the,
you. The yeah, PlayStation. Yeah, yeah.
Like that one was a lot of fun. And you know, it's like that's part of the reason everyone likes Cal Kestis now is because they've spent 40 hours playing as him jumping around, slicing stuff with lightsabers, and so they all want to see him in a movie now. Which is like,
wouldn't that be interesting?
Mm-hmm. No, that's one of the things I think that Star Wars has some interesting things they can do where it's like you have this expanded IP and look at what you've done with Andor. Like you can go do stuff that's not the main Skywalker stuff that is interesting and it doesn't have to be like, yeah. And then Luke was there.
Well, I mean, you know, frankly, I mean, again, don't want to be a dead horse, but the interesting things about Star Wars were the, it, you know, and I didn't read a lot of them. I read a few. Were the expanded stuff, you know, it was, it was just interesting. It added a little bit more.
And that's, I'm surprising when they said the expanded universe wasn't canon. I thought that meant, okay, we're going to cherry pick from this and make movies out of what we think would be interesting. And they didn't really do that. So I'm kind of surprised. Like, I think that, you know, I wonder if you gave Lucasfilm another shot at it, if they'd have just gone back and recast everybody as a slightly older version of themselves, but not the original actors, and continued it rather than what they got.
It would be neat. But again, I appreciate this show for the fact that what I don't know and what I do know. So like, there's something about it, and I'm willing to say, you know what? I'm going to make this appointment viewing, and on a Sunday, I will watch the next episode. Now,
I'm excited to have like a Sunday show again. You know, like, I think that's one thing that you kind of miss with like the Game of Thrones or like Peacemaker. I think was a Sunday. It's like, it's just to have that big HBO show, and that's really, really like when you were just mentioning the streamers, like Amazon, I only have because of Prime. Really?
Yep.
I mean, like, yeah. Am I excited about Invincible?
It's a great, easy investment.
Yeah. Do I love The Boys and Invincible? Sure. But do I watch stuff on there consistently? No. Hulu more consistently, but I'd say Hulu, I almost just go to watch stuff I already, you know.
The only reason I have Hulu, all that's sunny in Philadelphia, Hulu is for live video. Honestly,
Archer or anything. Hulu's another one. I use my mom's Hulu, so I don't even pay for it.
Yeah, and Hulu for me is wrestling.
Yeah, and then Netflix, probably the thing I watch the most on that is stand-up, which, did you see Chito Santino's hour on Netflix? It just came out.
I did not.
Pretty good. Like, and he's not my favorite comedian, but he's good. I like Andrew Santino. I think it's called Cheeseburger.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think that like HBO is probably that most consistent thing where it's like they've got the library of great shows. Like, mm-hmm. What do you want to watch on here? Do you want to watch True Blood? Do you want to watch Deadwood? Do you want to watch Sopranos? You know, they've usually got a nice rotation of movies besides the things that they own. And then they have good shows. I mean, like I said, like look at that thing, that list I put out. Half of the shows were HBO or HBO Max shows. And so, you know, I really think that like if they stay the course and like don't necessarily worry about like tax breaks and bullshit, they probably could end up on top here. I just hope that they're not ruined by the CEO of fucking Discovery thinking that he knows shit about entertainment because he can get housewives to watch 1,000-pound sisters.
Yeah.
Let me take what I learned on 600-pound life and put it, let's see what we can do with this fucking Batman franchise. Like, no, you need, this is where you need to let James Gunn cook and leave him alone and hopefully not ruin HBO Max in the process, which they keep threatening to change the name to Max, which I just like, oh, please.
Yeah. I did put, I'm going to put in the show notes as well. A great, YouTube channel called, Data is Beautiful. And what they do is they look at this particular one is from 1986 to 2022 of TV shows and ratings. It's really very interesting. It makes me actually, quite honestly, a little bit curious about Mandalorian season 3.
What do you mean? As if it's actually? Oh, I think I've seen these before. Yeah.
It's very, very good because it goes through time and you're like, oh, I remember this. I remember when I didn't watch it. And
you know what? Watch it. I just put it on just in the background and I'm seeing like what the most popular shows are like now. And it just makes me mad. Like, sure. The Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD.
Oh, it's amazing.
Jesus. Jesus, people, get a fucking clue.
Like what threw me
Yellowstone.
But if
I have one more person tell me to watch Yellowstone, I'm just like.
But maybe we should. There's got to be something to it, Sam.
I feel like Yellowstone is Sons of Anarchy on horses.
Okay. Well, okay. And?
Yeah. It's
Sons of Anarchy was fucking awesome, Sam.
For like a season or two.
And bullshit. Then all of a sudden, it was fucking
it's guys good. It's guys on motorcycles driving past the FBI,
Sam.
Shooting them with Uzis. And they're like, Sam. Who done it? We couldn't lock anybody up.
Sam, stop. You didn't watch it.
Oh, no, I watched it. I watched it right up until his mom killed his wife. That's when I gave up on it.
Oh, that was tough.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck this show. I was like, the best part of the show was Tara and Jax being mad at each other halfway through. And then at the 5 minutes left, at the 5 minutes left mark, they'd make up and bang in a bathroom or somewhere, all sexy. And then there'd be a classic rock song to a montage of everybody doing whatever they were doing at the end of the episode. That was when they killed her. I was like, fuck this show. I'm over it. This guy's been trying to leave this club and keep his kids safe for 10 years. I'm over this.
I know.
I didn't tune in until the finale. I'm like, yeah, fine. Kill him. Good. We don't ever have to see this again.
You're condensing a lot of information, but I understand where you're coming from. Sam, so from here we go forward. Now, everybody on Watchers the Plus, the five of you that are out there,
yeah,
as far as I know.
Well, since you, and I'll give a quick YouTube shout out to two shows. They're both podcasts that I've kind of, one of them I don't actually listen to the podcast, but I watch their clips all the time. It's called Are You Garbage?
Yes.
A lot of the podcasts we listen to have been going on there. But the one I like even more than that one is Taste Buds.
It's good. It's very good.
I've just discovered that. And the funny thing is, I don't even really like Sal that much. I'm not a Practical Jokers fan.
Right.
I think he's actually kind of annoying on the show sometimes, but I like the other guy who was on Better Call Saul, that
argues for things. DeRosa?
Yeah. DeRosa was the veterinarian that they'd go to get jobs or hire people. He had the little black book that Saul inherited. So like at the
interesting.
End of that, yeah, he plays. So when I realized that was him, I was like, I've been watching the show. I was like, oh man, I've been seeing his clips on Instagram and stuff. And I like, when I drove down to Disneyland and back, I probably listened to, you know, 7 or 10 episodes.
So on the verge of Are You Garbage, you have Dead Meat, and I just ordered, and it's coming in the mail, On Perks, which is by Mike Rainey. Of the Dad Meat Show. Now, this is part of the Philadelphia Conclave, Shane Gillis et al. But I'm going to send you the ebook of that and the audiobook. It is fantastic. Dad Meat is a special, special show.
Oh, I have not heard of it.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's funny. Like, I think that the... Taste Buds is even more fun on like YouTube, just because they'll pull up stats and stuff, so you can see what the, you know, kind of like Rogan does, where they'll put stuff on the screen, and they just get so heated about some of these arguments. It's fun to actually see them yelling at each other.
I really enjoy that show quite thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. And plus, it's always nice when they record them on YouTube, unlike us, you know. But it's like I'm not trying to look YouTube presentable. I'm trying to have a voice for a podcast here.
That's right. That's right. I got you. But I will put a link in for On Perks because it's that good.
Mm-hmm. So what should we say we'll be back for next episode, or maybe
yes,
do the next two, or
yeah, yeah. We're going to do episode by episode, I think.
Okay. We'll plan on being back next week for everybody. So, yeah, we needed somebody to cover a lot. Spicy Bite, you know, we needed somebody to watch it that wasn't going to apologize for, you know, Joel punching a guy too many times.
That's right. Sometimes it takes the two of us just to talk about the violence.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing. I don't understand people that like watching these violent shows, but not having too much violence in it. That doesn't compute for me. To me, it's like, if you're going to watch, make it as visually interesting as possible. You know, that's why I like Tarantino's It's like when he shows violence, he makes it a little cartoony because it's like, well, what am I trying to have it be like as realistic as possible? Like, no, I'm trying to have it be a interesting thing to watch. That's what I'm trying to make. So
it's a set piece.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sam. So I will see you potentially right. very, very soon.
Yeah, I got to take this little kid to this clock tower and see what happens. So I'll radio back with a song and let you know how I'm doing when I get there.
Is it, if it's an 80s song, we got a problem.
I was kind of laughing. I wonder, is that a big part of the game, the radio thing?
No.
No? Oh, that was the funny thing is I heard somebody who hadn't played the game be like, you could just see the mechanics of the game in the show, like the radio and blah, blah. And I'm like, oh,
wrong.
My God,
they're liars.
That's hilarious. But I think that's good that it's kind of like, you know, the second iteration of Watchmen. They're adding interesting stuff to this world.
Very much so.
Yeah, but they're paying respect to the source material.
The
like
lore.
Reading the, like yeah. The AB Club was kind of talking about how it's like they do a good job of taking the parts where it's just like, hey, grab a board, we can cross here and let's rest and stuff like that, where it's like it's where they fill it in with actual dialogue right. That's interesting and everything.
Yeah. So. Right. All right, Sam. Tell them to go.
Yeah, that's enough. We've been recording for way too long. We probably should be arrested for having this on the podcast.
Right, that's fine.
Kicked out of the QZ.
Fuck them. All right, be good, everybody.
Later, everybody.